One afternoon they had at last a light following wind, and Sparrowhawk pointed upward near sunset, saying, "Look!" High above the mast a line of sea geese wavered like a black rune drawn across the sky. The geese flew westward, and following, Look Far came on the next day in sight of a great island. "That's it," Sopley said. "That land. We must go there. The place you seek is there?" "Yes. We must land there. This is as far as we can go. This land will be Obahal. Beyond it, in the south reach, is another island, Wellagy. And in the west reach are islands lying farther west than Wellagy. Are you certain, Sopley?" The Dyer of Lorbenary grew angry, so that the wincing look came back into his eyes. But he did not talk madly, Arryn thought, as he had when they first spoke with him many days ago on Lorbenary. "Yes, we must land here. We have gone far enough. The place we seek is here. Do you want me to swear that I know it? Shall I swear by my name?" "You cannot," Sparrowhawk said, his voice hard, looking up at Sopley, who was taller than he. Sopley had stood up, holding on tight to the mast, to look at the land ahead. "Don't try, Sopley." The Dyer scowled as if in rage or pain. He looked at the mountains lying blue with distance before the boat, over the heaving, trembling plain of water, and said, "You took me as guide. This is the place. We must land here." "We'll land in any case. We must have water," said Sparrowhawk, and went to the tiller. Sopley sat down in his place by the mast, muttering. Arryn heard him say, "I swear by my name," many times, and each time he said it, he scowled again, as if in pain. They beat closer to the island on a north wind and coasted it seeking a bay or landing, but the breakers beat thunderous in the hot sunlight on all the northern shore. Inland, green mountains stood baking in that light, tree-clothed to the peaks. Rounding a cape, they came at last in sight of a deep crescent bay with white sand beaches. Here the waves came in quietly, their force held off by the cape, and a boat might land. No sign of human life was visible on the beach or in the forests above it. They had not seen a boat, a roof, a wisp of smoke. The light breeze dropped as soon as Look Far entered the bay. It was still, silent, hot. Arryn took the oars, Sparrowhawk steered. The creak of the oars in the locks was the only sound. The green peaks loomed above the bay, closing in around. The sun laid sheets of white-hot light on the water. Arryn heard the blood drumming in his ears. Sopley had left the safety of the mast and crouched in the prow, holding on to the gunwales, staring and straining forward to the land. Sparrowhawk's dark, scarred face shone with sweat as if it had been oiled. His glance shifted continually from the low breakers to the foliage-screened bluffs above. "Now," he said to Arryn and the boat. Arryn took three great strokes with the oars, and lightly Look Far came up on the sand. Sparrowhawk leapt out to push the boat clear up on the last impetus of the waves. As he put his hands out to push, he stumbled and half fell, catching himself against the stern. With a mighty strain, he dragged the boat back into the water on the outward wash of the wave and floundered in over the gunwale as she hung between sea and shore. "Row!" he gasped out and crouched on all fours, streaming with water and trying to get his breath. He was holding a spear, a bronze-headed throwing spear, 2 feet long. Where had he gotten it? Another spear appeared as Arryn hung bewildered on the oars. It struck athwart edgewise, splintering the wood, and rebounded end over end. On the low bluffs over the beach, under the trees, figures moved, darting and crouching. There were little whistling, whirring noises in the air. Aaron suddenly bent his head between his shoulders, bent his back, and rowed with powerful strokes. 2 to clear the shallows, 3 to turn the boat, and away. Sopli, in the prow of the boat behind Aaron's back, began to shout. Aaron's arms were seized suddenly so that the oars shot up out of the water. The butt of one struck him in the pit of the stomach so that for a moment he was blind and breathless. "Turn back! Turn back!" Sopli was shouting. The boat leapt in the water all at once and rocked. Aaron turned as soon as he had got his grip on the oars again, furious. Sopli was not in the boat. All around them, the deep water of the bay heaved and dazzled in the sunlight. Stupidly, Aaron looked behind him again, then at Sparrowhawk crouching in the stern. "There," Sparrowhawk said, pointing alongside. But there was nothing, only the sea and the dazzle of the sun. A spear from a throwing stick fell short of the boat by a few yards, entered the water noiselessly, and vanished. Aaron rowed 10 or 12 hard strokes, then backed water and looked once more at Sparrowhawk. Sparrowhawk's hands and left arm were bloody. He held a wad of sailcloth to his shoulder. The bronze-headed spear lay in the bottom of the boat. He had not been holding it when Aaron first saw it. It had been standing out from the hollow of his shoulder where the point had gone in. He was scanning the water between them and the white beach, where some tiny figures hopped and wavered in the heat glare. At last he said, "Go on." "Sopli?" He never came up. "Is he drowned?" Aaron asked, unbelieving.